Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
My name is Kate Assem, and I'm Executive Director of the CSU Foundation. It is my pleasure to give you this brief update. The foundation has been busy the last several months. Spring is a busy time for us. We've been working with the university library to complete our acquisition of the Provident papers. We're moving on that. We've been engaged in several events over the past couple of months. We had our second annual Essence of an Angel event on April 1st. We honored five distinguished women: Barbara Bates, Dorothy Brown, Leanna Flowers, Amy Hilliard, and CSU student Kim Shah, for their great work. We had the event here. It was a very nicely attended event, and we did receive quite a bit of positive publicity on the event. Just this last Saturday, we had our fourth annual Arthur Steffens Walk, and that was very well attended. We increased our number of walkers by 100% over last year, so we're looking forward to increasing the number of walkers for next year. We've already started planning for next year. I have to give my good friend Glenn Meeks credit for agreeing to chair the walk and being the guy to pull people out and get people to come out. Glenn, thank you very much for that. On June 5th, we'll be having our Putting for Scholars event at University Golf Course. We hope you all come out and play golf with us on that day. We have a few people who come out. Chief has a team. Several of you already have teams, but those of you who have not made that contribution, I want to encourage you to come out. And then I'm also delighted to announce that the Foundation Board has voted to honor State Representative Constance Connie Howard as our honoree for this year's gala. Ms. Howard would be our first woman in the 18 years that we've been having this event.
That's a shame.
So I am very happy to report that. I do hope that you will all come out and be supportive of the gala. The gala is the biggest event that we have to raise. Doc, you told me to make sure we had a woman this year. This is the year of the woman. So, you know, I hope that you will all come out in support of the gala this year. That's my report. I'll answer any specific questions you have.
Thanks, Kate. Any questions for Kate on the foundation? Doing great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Faculty Senate, is Dr. Searcy going to report? Or is that going to be the esteemed Dr. Beverly? Means we get to hear from you twice today?
Twice today.
All right.
Once in an official capacity and once as just a guy. Mr. Chairman, board members, Mr. President, I am the newly elected Faculty Senate President. My colleagues saw fit to entrust with me the business of presiding over the cat herding mob that we can tend to be. I just had a few comments and then I'd be open to your questions. I'd like to congratulate my colleagues who received tenure this year. For those of you who may not be familiar with the Academy, the tenure process is a laborious, intensive, sometimes mind-numbing process, and for them to get through to the end of it is a testament to their scholarship, their fortitude, their professionalism. The two things, I go to College of Pharmacy. Our first graduating class, faculty is very happy we've gotten over that hurdle. And is very pleased. We're gonna have to make some rearrangements at commencement to sit them up front now that they are the PharmD class, and we're looking forward to that. Congratulations from the faculty to Dean Marion Mosley Smith for her leadership and her guidance. Commencement, I want to remind all of you about our commencement. This is going to be a rather large event. We are expect to have nearly or more than 700 graduates, but one of the objectives of the event is to adhere to the order of events so that we stay in integrity with the graduates and their guests and around time and all that. So the commencement committee has been diligently working. Ms. Warren has been tireless, and faculty would like to recognize that. We also may be having other retired faculty guests joining us, and it'll be good to see some old faces coming back to the community. Two things I'd like to hit on pretty quickly. One is around accountability and us continuing to strive to create a culture of accountability. And the recent hit that we got around the communications policy, as example, is an accountability issue for faculty. And faculty that I've talked to just kind of shake their head and go, again, we can't keep doing that. We can't keep getting self-inflicted wounds. Second, around communications. As we strive to create a culture of communication, open two-way communication, not sort of top-down, and there's some people I'd like to make note of. Dr. Renee Mitchell, the director of HR, came to the Senate recently to discuss a policy issue that is going to affect faculty for the first time and was proactive in her attendance, reaching out for some guidance, some feedback, and that's took some faculty by surprise that administration was actually being more proactive in their approach to things that affect faculty. So I'd like to make special note of her. The provost, as usual, has been proactive in seeking faculty perspectives. And thankfully, her long tenure here provides some continuity in the academic affairs area. The policy review process that we got a memo on, there was a meeting on yesterday about including the university community in the policy review process, is welcome. The slight minor little glitch in that from a faculty perspective is it's coming during finals week. And faculty get a little bit busy during finals week doing finals. So if there could be a little bit of attention paid to sort of the academic calendar, I know that administrators work on a 12-month calendar and ours is a little bit more condensed, but if we can get those in alignment, that might be helpful for more sort of participation. And finally, I'd like to make note that the newly hired chief of staff for the university has been exemplary in his outreach to the faculty and to the faculty senate. And so I'd like to thank whoever was involved in that hiring decision for bringing Dr. Moses here. He's been unbelievably helpful to us, bringing a perspective, volume of experience that we appreciate second thing is around academic purview. So faculty have a particular purview about things. One is who we want to work with, and so we go through faculty search processes, and those search processes are lengthy and time-consuming and tedious oftentimes. And faculty, because of the previously mentioned tenure process, we're the ones who have to live with each other in our departments, and we have to work with each other. And so we take a bit of umbrage when there's interference from outside the academic area in faculty searches. There aren't people, unless you're in a discipline or in a department, who have the expertise or the experience or the purview to interfere in those selections. Faculty should be selecting who they want to work with because we know who we want to work with. Along with that, we also are pretty clear about who we'd like to chair our departments. And some faculty have expressed some concern about one-year tenure for department chairs. Normally, in the 20-plus years that I've been here, chairs either serve out a three-year term or serve a three-year term. And what this does is it allows for some continuity and in the leadership of a department, so if there's new things that are getting implemented, we can get them implemented. But when there's no continuity and there's so much uncertainty about who's going to be leading a department, it impacts morale. And if you're at an institution where morale has been impacted by other internal and external factors, this just doesn't help. Attached to that is the appointment of interims in several positions. And the Faculty Senate, I think, has communicated to this body under Dr. Searcy's presidency our concern that interim appointments be limited to a year with the possibility of a year additional in case of an emergency. Having interims, again, it's the continuity issue, and we don't have the certainty that we'd like to have in terms of the academic leadership at the university that we'd like. Finally, I'd like us, as we meet some of the challenges that we face here at all levels, from in a classroom to the management of the university, I've noticed sometimes that we knee-jerk into a symptomatic approach. And so we want to slap a Band-Aid on a sucking chest wound instead of looking at the root cause. And I would invite us to bring some rigor, some intellectual rigor, to examining what is the cause of the challenge that we're facing, and not just sort of in a 911 emergency sense try and triage it, if that makes sense. And so I'd invite the board and my colleagues on faculty, administrators, to I know it's hard to remember your job was to drain the swamp when you're neck deep in alligators, but to take a step back and say, okay, are we addressing a symptom? Or are we really getting at the problem? Otherwise, we'll just continue to address the same problem. And I'm open to your questions.
Any questions for Dr. Beverly? As always, we appreciate the service of the faculty. Let the commencement next week be a reflection of your work.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a motion to for the board to convene into executive session?
So moved. Second. Trustee Rozier?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Morrison Butler?
Yes.